Good morning, beloved ones.
Now, as most of you know, we have just finished a series on being a light bearer and a light worker. I did that a while back, a couple of weeks ago. And I talked about all of the things that we need to do and all of the skills and the abilities that are required for us in being a light worker or a light bearer. Because after all, we are indeed co-creators with God. We say that in New Thought, that we are co-creators with God, meaning that we have our part to do. We have our part to do in bringing forth or bringing about our heart's desires and the kingdom of heaven consciousness actually into our lives and into our affairs as real things. Now, while it is true that we have our part to do, have you ever had the feeling that as a true student or as a metaphysician that I tell you you are all the time, but as a true student or a metaphysician that somehow you have to do it all? Sometimes we can get that feeling or we can get that impression that, you know, yes, we have our part to do, but that we have to do it all, that somehow we have to make the manifestations that we desire happen. We have to make them happen. And that if you didn't get it just right, it might not manifest. Now, that's not the truth, but sometimes myself and other people who are sharing and teaching might give that impression. We might pick that up, that you have to have the right prayer. Not just any old prayer, but it's got to be the right prayer, which is why a lot of people don't pray out loud with other people, because they think it might not be the right prayer. Or you have to have the right affirmation. Just the right combinations of words have to be there, perfect. Or you have to have the right formula for success. Or you have to have the right steps in order. 5 steps to freedom, 10 steps to prosperity. You know, all these different, you got to have the right steps, or else whatever it is that you're praying about or whatever it is that you're trying to claim might not show up. Now, sometimes we as true students forget a very important part of all of this equation, all of this stuff, the steps, the prayers, the affirmation, all of this. We forget God. We're so busy being on our game and making sure that our game is tight, you know. We're busy being about our thing that we think that is all up to us, but not so. Not so. Now, sometimes the opposite is also problematic, where we might think that God is supposed to do everything. Sometimes we think we're supposed to do it all, or we might fall into the thought process that God is supposed to do everything, and that we actually have no part in the process of demonstration, in the process of manifestation. And this too is not true. This too is not true. So it has to be, you know, both and. I love a phrase that Jesus gave in John 5:17. And he was being questioned as to why he worked on the Sabbath, you know. And he said this in 5:17. He said, "My Father works and I work." I love that. My Father works and I work. Clearly, there has to be a two-way exchange, that there's a two-way deal going on here. My Father works and I work. So, yes, we have to do our part, but let us not forget that God is working too. God is working also. I'm coming to a new understanding of what it means to really have God as my co-pilot. To really have God as a partner, as a what? Co-creator. God created. I'm in that process of creativity as well. But I'm coming to a different understanding, a new and deeper understanding of God as a co-creator, my co-pilot, and my partner, and not just a concept. Not just a concept, because for many, God is something we believe in, but not necessarily interact with. You know, if I were to ask you, do you believe in God? Abraham and God, yes. God is something we believe in because we were taught to believe in it. We were trained to believe in it. But it's not, it's a concept. Nothing that we actually experience or interact with. Now, you know, I'm thinking, when was the last time that you had actually had a conversation with God? I'm not talking about a prayer, which is usually a one-way, gimme, 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 but a conversation with God that actually amounted to a dialogue. Now, when there's a dialogue, there's an exchange, is there not? There's someone's talking, and then someone's listening, and then someone's talking back, and so there's a conversation. When was the last time that you had a conversation with God that you actually felt that you heard God or you heard a response? Now, I'm not talking about a paranoid, delusional experience. Because that gets in the way. We're laughing, but that thought gets in the way because the moment someone comes up and says, I've had a conversation with God, I heard the voice of God talking to me, we automatically think that they're suspect, right? Because we've been conditioned to do that, to feel that. But was Jesus paranoid and delusional when he said, Father, I thank you that you hear me and that you always hear me? He must have been dialoguing and having a conversation. Or were the prophets in the scripture, were they delusional when God would speak to them and give them things to do and to say and to bring back to the people and they had exchanges? Were they delusional? No. See, this is a result of our being so far removed from God that we don't even know how God interacts with us. We've got God so far up somewhere in the heavens on some cloud out there that we forget that the very living presence of God is indwelling us, is with us every step of the way. And that we can actually commune and communicate with God. So it's just that, you know, we can actually hear that voice within. Hearing that still small voice, or hearing where we're conversing and we're into action, and we get an immediate response to our questions and statements because we are what? We are dialoguing. Not just praying, but dialoguing. Would you talk to anybody if you keep talking to them and they never talk to you back and answer you back? Mm-mm. You think, oh, something's wrong. Yet we talk to God and never really expect to get anything back. So this is something powerful. Emily Cady said this in her book, Lessons in Truth. She said, God is tapping at the door of your consciousness, waiting to give you the desires of your heart. Do you hear the tapping? Do you hear the knocking? Jesus said this in Revelations 3:20. He said, listen, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice, he will open the door and I will come in and I will sup with him. Now, I like the other New Living Translation that says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, open the door and I will come in and I will share a meal together as friends. See, there is the divine desires to have something deep with us, a connection, a friendship, a relationship. Standing at the door, knock. We're so busy knocking at the door of God that we can't hear or feel or know that God is knocking at the door of our hearts, wanting to come in, wanting to make a connection, wanting to be present with us. But we're so out of focus. I got to, hey, God, you got this for me? That we cannot receive. Behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. Open the door. Open your heart. Now come in. That's what this weekend was about. We learned to open the heart so that the divine could come in and reside and rest and be right there. Powerful experience for us. You see, the voice of God is always speaking, whether it's Christ or God, the Godhead, or Christ, or your higher self. The voice is always speaking, but we don't recognize the voice. And you want to know why? Because we don't have a personal relationship with God. We don't have a personal connection and relationship with the divine. You know how when a family member or a friend calls you up on the phone, you instantly, when you hear their voice, you recognize their voice, do you not? You recognize that voice. When my mother calls me on the phone, I don't say, "Who is this?" Right? Or I call her and all she has to do is say, "Hello," and I know that it's her. Right? I don't say, "Who's calling?" I know. Why do I know? Because I have heard her voice all my life. I've heard it even when I was in the womb. I know that voice because I have heard it. When my friends call me up, I know each one's voice. I don't say, "Cynthia, is that you? Or is that Vanetta? Or is that Tina? Or is that who?" You know, I know each one's. Oh, no. I don't go, "Oh, Chandra, is that you?" I don't have to distinguish because they are my friends. I know their voice. Why? Because I have a relationship with them, right? Because I interact with them. I talk to them. I'm familiar with the sound and the tone and the inflections and the phrasing and the nuances of each one's voice. So I instantly know who it is that's calling me. And when I pick up a phone and I have no familiarity with all who's on the other line, then I go, "Who is this?" And it's probably, what, a telemarketer. And when they say, "Sylvia," and I go, "Do you know Sylvia?" And they're always thrown off because they go, no. Well then, Sylvia has nothing to say. Thank you very much. Be blessed. Bam. I don't know them, they don't know me. But I know who's calling because I have an interaction. And the point is, friends, is that the same thing can be experienced with the divine. If you actually have an up-close and personal relationship or a friendship with the divine, or with God, the Godhead, or with Christ, or with whatever form of the divinity that you want to use. But you must have some kind of connection. See, the downfall that I think that I see in New Thought churches, whether it's Unity, Science of Mind, Religious Science, Agape, all this, the downfall that I see in these churches and in our approach to spiritual understanding is that we're so busy making sure that we don't fall into simply worshiping Jesus as some of our traditional colleagues can do. You know, it's all about worshiping Jesus that they forget about what Jesus said, what Jesus did. And we are, in New Thought, more concerned with what was said and what was done and the teachings. But we've gone so far over on that end that I believe we have thrown the baby out with the bathwater. We've thrown the baby out because we're so focused on the Christ principle, which is great, or the Christ ideal, which is necessary, or the Christ mind and the Christ consciousness that we are trying to express. That's part of our purpose. But we're so focused on that, that we actually have missed a very real opportunity to actively connect with the soul consciousness and spirit of Jesus as the Christ or Christ Jesus, who is actually alive and well today. We miss that. You see? We'll talk on Easter, which is coming in a few more weeks. We'll talk about the resurrected and the risen Christ. But we do it on Easter time only. right? Whereas my colleagues in traditional forms may talk about the crucified Christ. At least we're not there. We have gotten to the resurrected Christ. But we only get there at certain seasons during Easter. But we say, wait a minute. This Christ, the soul consciousness, the soul essence of Jesus the Christ or Christ Jesus is alive and well today. Yet we have no connection. We have no connection, you see. So what the point is that his essence, energy, consciousness, and presence is here and now. It is here and now. That presence that Jesus became as the Christ is available. It is available to us the moment we ask. It is available to us the moment we call upon the energy and the vibration to be with us. Because did he not say, lo, just right before his ascension, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Now, that age has ended and we're in a new age. But guess what? Lo, I am always with you, even to the end of the age. And did he not say that you can ask anything in my name and in my nature, and that I will do? Right? Asking in that name and nature, in the consciousness, in the presence, and that will I do. See, this is so powerful because he also gave us this intercessory energy, an intercessory spirit that we call the Holy Spirit, just in case we forget that presence of the Christ is alive and well and indwells us and that we have a divine connection because we too are that very Christ. But just in case we forget that, he said, I'm going to give you a living spirit to be with you, to help you to remember. I'm going to give you this spirit that will guide you and teach you and heal you and instruct you. We'll call it the Holy Spirit or the spirit of the living truth, not the dead truth, but the living truth that will be with you. How often do we call upon that to teach, to heal, to reveal, to interact with us? See, this is such a powerful thing because we have to understand what's taking place on a deeper level. He said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, in my nature, what? There I'll be in the midst of them." Has he come to any of you? Has he been in the midst of you? See, consciously, when we're gathered together in that name, that presence is right there with us, meaning his nature, his presence, his consciousness is available for us to take use of and make an account of. And it's a very real presence. It's a very real energy, but we're not familiar with it. Because we've cast it, as two students, you know, we've cast it aside. We don't recognize it. We don't know how to access it anymore. And did he not say, not he, but don't we usually say that as the Christ, that Jesus is our way shower, our elder brother, the example, the one who is able to save, our joint heir? We say all these things, and yet, when was the last time we asked the way shower to show us the way? When was the last time that we actually asked our elder brother for some help? Because if you got a big brother, and a big brother that's a bad big brother, why not ask for help? When was the last time we asked for help and assistance? See, guess what? We can actually ask, talk to, talk with the Christ Spirit, Christ Jesus. We can interact and receive the guidance and the revelations and the answers and the support and the comfort and the healing and the soothing of our soul. We can get all that. We can begin to actually hear this voice of the one who is calling to us in a very real way and not think that we're going crazy. We're waking up. It's part of your spiritual awakening. So I want you to listen to some of the deep teachings and understanding of this whole Christ phenomenon. that is in us, with us. And these are writings from Mr. Charles Fillmore. Now, one of the things that I want to say is that this is some meat. I'm about to give you some meat for your soul. The time for milk is over, okay? We need some meat. No more just baby lessons or just lessons solely on the popular topics like prosperity and success. All those are needed, but we need some meat because the times that we are living in is requiring that we go a little deeper. We need to be equipped with some heavy-duty stuff. We need to know how to really, as metaphysicians and truth students that you are, to be able to handle, to understand the spiritual realms, to understand how does it work in the spiritual realm. What are we doing? How do we make that connection beyond the physical sight of our eyes, beyond the appearances of this world? We got to know how to dwell and delve into the spiritual realm as a practice, okay? So I want to read some of Charles Fillmore's teachings and discussions about what's happening with this whole Christ phenomenon. And he says, this is from Keep a True Lent, page 187, and it's about Jesus Christ's residence. He says, Jesus lives today in that body of glorified light in a kingdom that interpenetrates the earth and its environment. So he's talking about a realm that's beyond the physical, but it's here and present. Right? That a glorified, he lives in the body, that body of glorified light in a kingdom that interpenetrates the earth and its environment, meaning it's everywhere. That Christ energy is everywhere, here and now. He says this on Talks on Truth. He has not left us or gone to some far away heaven, but he may be reached by the humblest of us in a moment's time. If we really aspire in soul for his companionship and help. Jesus didn't go anywhere. Yes, in some far away heaven, but it's present. Because the kingdom of heaven is where? Within you. It's right here, right now. And so he says, we can contact the humblest person in a moment's time, but if we have to aspire in the soul for his companionship. Then he says, in Jesus Christ healed, Jesus still lives in the spiritual ethers of this world and is in constant contact with those who raise their thoughts to him in prayer. The promise was not an idle one, that he would be with those who have faith in him. It's not idle. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful. You have heard, I said, I go away and I come unto you. I may go away from the physical, but I am ever present. And then in Jesus Christ Heals, it says, his body disappeared from our fleshly eyes because he raised it to its true place in the ether. But he can make his presence felt to anyone who looks to him for help. He can make his, and the experiences that I have been having, I'm feeling this presence. He's making his presence felt to me. Known to me in a way that I have not experienced before. And I say, you know, I always talk to the Christ, but this is a different level because I've made a commitment to have it in my heart, to have it present, and to begin to dialogue and connect. I have opened the door of my heart. And when he says that, I'm telling you, he's come in, and starting to move and do and sup with me and be with me. And it's like, wow, this is some deep stuff. Jesus Christ healed, but if two persons agree in their prayers and thoughts about Jesus Christ and his power to help, by sympathetic soul unity, he instantly responds. Not later on, but instantly, but you got to make that what? That soul connection, sympathetic soul unity. And he instantly responds. And then he quotes, again, I say unto you that if two shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. And then this last one says, let us remember from Jesus Christ Heals, his book, Mr. Fillmore's book, Let us remember that in declaring Jesus to be present with us, you got to declare. Myrtle Filmer used to say, Jesus Christ is here now, raising me to his level of consciousness. That was her affirmation she would always quote. That's a powerful one. So even when I don't feel like I can do, guess what? Jesus Christ is here now, raising me to his level of consciousness. It's a declaration. So Fillmore says, let us remember that in declaring Jesus to be present with us, we are placing ourselves in a thought atmosphere that will help us to quicken our own supermind or Christ mind. So when you do that, your mind, your Christ presence gets stimulated, quickened, and opened. Jesus raised his mind and body to his supermind level, permitting a life radiation without cross currents or discords of any kind. When he raised it to a certain degree, it was pure God energy, without stuff. No cross currents of, oh, I wonder what the economy's doing. Or I wonder what that, none of that, pure energy. Then he says, he preceded us, and as he said, he prepared a place for us. This place is a spiritual current in the cosmic ether, right? In which we live and we can feel it when we direct our attention to Christ in prayer and meditation. And then he closes by saying, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. So there's a very real presence that we can enter into in consciousness and actually feel and be healed and lifted up and do work and have, you know, I work and my Father works. The Christ begins to work with us. New ideas come. As I was driving in, I could hear the voice and God would say, oh, use this, use Revelation 3:20. I was like, Mom, I got on the phone with my mother. It's like, look up our Revelations. Behold, he just gave me, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I didn't get that last night. I got that driving in. Because I was having a conversation. I was trying to be present. He said, oh, use that. I said, oh, that's a great one. I like that scripture. Look it up. And she looked it up, and I had Cheryl. Cheryl, give me that. Go get that. You understand? It was this, that instant. I work. Got to open it. There's something fabulous and fantastic hearing. So what I'm saying, friends, is that I'm sharing this kind of teaching from Fillmore because in your walk as a light bearer and a light worker, you're going to need some assistance from on high. You understand? Because what we see happening out here, we can't heal alone. This that we are doing is a God thing. This is a God job. And therefore, we must bring in a higher energy into the work that we're doing. So we should never feel that we have to walk alone or that we even have to work alone. Because we cannot afford to leave out the presence that is right here. Standing and knocking. I got stuff for you. Open the door. Let me come into your heart. I will direct, guide, lead. I will have miracles upon miracles and blessings upon blessings that you can't even imagine. But you got to let me in to your heart, to your consciousness. So what we want to do is develop an up close and personal relationship with the divine. A bond that is real and active, not a concept anymore, not just hearing somebody talk about God. I want you to experience it, right? We want to hear that voice of the one who's calling us constantly to hear it within ourselves. We want to be able to share our trials and our tribulations, our fears and doubts, unload it, give it, discuss it, share those things. In the world, you're going to have trials and tribulations, but fear not. You want to hear God say to you, fear not. I've overcome the world. I got something that I can take you through. Don't worry about that. You want to hear that. You want to feel that. You want to know that, right? We want to be able to have a friend. That old time here, what a friend we have. I didn't get it before. I get it now, right? A friend who is with us with unconditional love. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you look like. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. We want that kind of a friend. I love my other friends, and they're wonderful beings, but it ain't nothing like having an unconditional friend, right? You get that with the divine. We want to be able to ask for what we need and have it show up. Have it show up. The scripture says, draw near unto me and I will draw near unto you. The nearness. We need the nearness of God. We want to have that closeness. And if you build the relationship on a day-to-day basis, in your everyday basis and ordinary experiences, if you build that day-to-day, moment by moment, situation by situation, conversation by conversation, relationship, I guarantee you that extraordinary and miraculous things will become ordinary occurrences for you. That's what will happen, because God will start working. Miracles will start coming. When they talk about the miracles, people are having miracles because they have opened the door and they're receiving the blessings. Receiving that light. And don't get hung up on the form or the name. Some people might call it the Christ. Some people might call it the Great Spirit. Some might call it Buddha, Allah. It doesn't matter, because there's only one presence and one power, and it's God. So whatever. But the point is, you must make a deep and abiding connection constantly. You must bring the divine into your heart. And when that happens, you're not only going to be talking the walk, but you'll be walking the talk. When that happens, the divine will begin to manifest to you and through you in ways you can't even imagine. So, endeavor to take a closer walk. That's what I'm been the old time, just a closer walk with thee. I'm in that old time stuff because I get it now. Walk in the light. Be the light. And if you walk in the light, and you are the light, and I walk in the light, and I am the light, we will all find our way. Amen. Just a closer walk. Blessings. Namaste. Blessings.